The Bible says we go from glory to glory. You cannot go from glory to glory sitting still. Amen? So you have to learn to move with God or walk with God. We walk with Him. So we walk with God. There's a time, if you notice the children of Israel, they take some spaces in the wilderness, camp, and then move again. Camp, move again. Camp, move again. The one thing they didn't do was camp all the time. If you camp somewhere and never move, you'll get in trouble. You'll get stagnation. And all kinds of mindsets will be the result of it. God calls us to move from glory to glory. Amen? We move with God by faith. The just will live, say live, by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's not just meaning that we walk this week, well, I'm just living by faith. I'm just enduring by faith. He didn't say you endure by faith. He said you would walk by faith. Amen. And he said all things are possible to what? To those who believe. Say believe. Hallelujah forever. Well, you know, we've been on a journey and you think, when will this ever come to fruition? But it's been an intense training. And it's been a very in-depth training. I mean, you look at it from our point of view. I mean, the way the Holy Spirit is done. But I look back now and I look at different areas He trained us in and some of the areas that He really, really, really spent a lot of time on. And when I'm in a time, He would spend 2, 3, 4 different series on a particular arena and He'd come back to it and come back to it is because He really was trying to get us to hone in on because He knew that we would need that. At another level, He was going to take us. Amen. And one of the areas that He spent a lot of time on was the kingdom within, unlocking the inheritance within. I remember when He first started introducing me to it, it was so weird for me, to be honest with you, because He said, I want you not to ascend. I want you to enter into where I am inside. And I'll tell you, that was the most unusual thing for me to do in the beginning because I had no grid for it. And it wasn't until He brought His word began to unlock those areas when He started covering by revelation all that was going on the inside and making entrance. He taught us how to enter in, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the new and the living way consecrated by the veil of His flesh. Let us what? Draw near. You see, there was a movement towards Him. It says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So He taught us you had to come out from where you are to where He is. Well, I realize now all of those principles was leading to something even He had greater in mind for us. And as He began to share with me the understanding of where He's bringing us by faith, the eye of faith, and more important, what I began to discuss yesterday with the intercessors, the awareness of faith. You see, because a lot of people don't really understand how they see the promise. They don't understand that. And I'm going to give you some things tonight to help you understand how to see your promise. But more importantly, how to dwell in your promise. Now, the Bible says, my words are spirit and they are what? Life to those that what? Find them. What does that mean to you, spirit and life? They exist in a realm outside of this natural one. These words are spirit and they're life, but He says they're spirit and life to those who find them. That means the word of promise is spirit and it is life to those who find it. Amen? Now you may receive it, and when most of the time God gives you a revelation of your future, He'll give it to you by encounter, mountaintop experience, explosion of the rhema word of God. It'll come in with faith. It'll come in with life. It'll come in with vision. And when it makes its entrance, it explodes on the inside of you. When that encounter comes, it explodes. You feel the faith. You feel and see the vision of it. How many of you ever had that kind of experience? I mean, it's real. I mean, you feel like you can take on the world because the faith that's in that promise is imparted to you. Now, that's phase one, the impartation. But then that promise still, a lot of times we allow that promise to grow dormant within us or to move into a dormant state, it doesn't have that same excitement or life to it because it's grown to a dormant state or it's settled into a dormant state. But I'm going to tell you how to awaken it. Amen? Because the Bible says His word or His promise is spirit and it is life. That doesn't mean just the word you got inside of you. But it's spirit and life where it is. The Bible says, where I am, Jesus said, there shall you be also. How did you enter the right hand of God? It was set by compass. How did you go to the throne of grace? It was set by compass. How did you enter in? He says, I am the living doorway. By me, if any man entereth in, he'll go in and out. You move in the kingdom by way of the word of God. You move by the acknowledgement of that scripture. You move by the awareness of that scripture. If you didn't know there was a door there, you couldn't enter into, having therefore boldness to enter into. And so we learn to do that in the early days and we become aware of the kingdom of God. We did this yesterday and the whole atmosphere just shifted in a matter of 10, 15 seconds of just entering in. And you could feel the atmosphere shift. You see when we started doing that at the end and how it just shifted because we moved into a dimension of the spirit. Now, all of that was to get us where we're going now. Amen. All of that was for our training of what God wants to do now. The Bible says God speaks the end, say the end, from the beginning. So the word of promise that comes to you, He speaks the end of that promise. Before He ever begins, He speaks the end. He speaks from a position of manifestation, a position of fullness, a position of being done. Amen? God inhabited eternity. So whereas He gives you the word where you're at, He fellowships and He loves you where you are, He is not ever going to leave you there. You must grow into Him. We grow in righteousness, we grow in peace, we grow in love, but we also grow in promise. Because if we don't grow in promise, we're going to be stagnant. We were never designed to sit in one place. We were meant to go from glory to glory. Sometimes God's going to speak the end of the promise. Sometimes He's going to speak midway through. Sometimes He's going to speak a fourth of the way through. And sometimes He's going to give you the next step. But all of its promise. Amen? Say all of its promise. When He speaks, He's speaking from a position He intends for you to grow into. But because we don't know what to do with what He says, and we haven't spent the proper time developing what He wants us to develop, we sit here while He keeps speaking from there. You go to a conference and somebody prophesies to you. Every time you get back in God, He reaffirms who you are. He reaffirms what you're doing. He reaffirms where you're going. Always reaffirming because He hasn't changed His mind. God doesn't change His mind. Just because you're going backwards, sitting still, backing up, looking the wrong way, God has not changed His mind or His position that He speaks from. He's still speaking from the same position He spoke to you when you were on the mountain. But sometimes because we're not growing into that promise because we don't know how to grow in that promise. And the reality is this, the people of God are hungry. The people of God are thirsty. If they don't have the proper equipment to know what to do, the enemy will take advantage of them. But God's given us the equipment, hallelujah. He's equipping our faith. Because when we're here in point A, He's speaking from point B. So He gives us everything we need in point A. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He sends His word that speaks of a future position. But then also He sends His Holy Spirit where you are. Because He's speaking where He is, but He sends His Holy Spirit where you are. Well, how can He be in A and B at the same time? Because God inhabiteth eternity. But He's got to get you over there. The problem is we don't know how to go over there. And if you stay in point A too long, you'll start doing things the way human beings do it. You'll start doing what you can do about the situation. Or you'll start activating faith in point A. I call this point A faith. Point A faith is you do this right here. You go in one big circle. And you shoot your little machine gun at every devil and every circumstance that comes along. Fighting all kinds of stuff. Because you're fighting a battle that you were never meant to fight. Because this is not where faith is won. This is the enemy's territory. He owns the circumstance around point A. He owns the systems of the world that dominate those circumstances. And rest assured, as soon as you get a vision of point B, he is going to come down in point A to tell you, because point B is always exactly contrary to what God has said. Is what the enemy brings is absolutely contrary to it. He'll bring everything in the world. And if you spend your time fighting here, it's going to be a very long road and you're going to get worn out. You're going to get tired. You're going to get worn down because you're fighting in the wrong place. Because God speaks from here. Now, he sent that word over there. But the fulfillment, the faith, the life is here. My words are what? Spirit and life to what? To those who find them. You got to receive them and then find them. Did you hear that? You have to receive the word, then you got to go find it. When you get that, you'll understand. I receive it in point A, but I got to go find it. I got to find the life. I got to find the spirit. I got to find the atmosphere. I got to find the glory, because that word is still full of glory. The reason you can't feel it over here, because of your circumstances, because this is not where it's going to manifest. It's manifesting over there. And you got to get over there. And that's what it means. The eye of faith has to look over there. Case in point, I'll use Abraham. Been using him the whole time. I mean, he's the one we need to pattern after. So Abraham is wearing his circumstance. Do you think he's going to find faith right here? He's wearing a body that God's commanding him to birth out of. How would you like that? God give you a commandment. Give birth. And you're wearing a dead body. Where are you going to find it here? Abraham had to look. Now tonight, I'm going to hone in or teach you more about how to look over here. How do you actually see? There's some things I want to share. The Lord's really honing in on this. He said, I sent you my Holy Spirit for a purpose. What do you utilize your faith for? We utilize our faith for the kingdom. Say, the kingdom. The kingdom is going to come, but the kingdom comes by faith. The kingdom just doesn't drop on you. The kingdom comes by faith. Gifts will drop on you, but the kingdom, the part everybody wants, that's got to come by faith. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit has been given this job to help get us. He's the one helping us. He's the one transferring the promise over here. He's the one getting us ready. And he's the one who's going to help us make that journey over there. Amen? He's wanting to teach us how to dwell, say dwell, in the promise, even when your circumstances are not in it. You're going to have to learn to dwell in the midst of your promise, or your promise is not coming to pass. Because if you dwell in the midst of your circumstance, you're going to constantly be barraged with something absolutely contrary to what God has said. Only here are you going to find what God said. Not over there. Does that make sense? I want to teach you in a very practical how to get here. Before I do, I want to share with you a few things, safeguards the Holy Spirit has been teaching me. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said of him in John 15 or 16, he says, now when the Comforter comes, he said he will what? Receive of mine And he'll show it to you, rehearse it to you, declare it to you, transmit it to you. All of that, the Holy Spirit's going to get God's plan over to you where you are. Amen. He says, now he's going to receive of mine. So what is the Holy Spirit going to be directing your faith into? Well, he's going to direct your faith into what he's putting inside of you first. Because if you don't get it inside of you, you can't move. Because the only way I can move from point A to B is by a word. I can't move by my soul. I can't move by my flesh. I cannot move by carnal desire. I have to move by his word. If I don't have his word, I'm not going nowhere. Why do you think the enemy comes what? Immediately. What is he after? He wants to steal your word. Because if he steals your word, he is stolen your journey. And if he's stolen your journey, he's going to camp you right here all your life, and he's going to beat your lights out. Because he's taking your word. He's taking your compass. You cannot move in an invisible kingdom without a compass. His word's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'm not talking about just reading it all day. I'm talking about the one he puts inside you. The one you have received. Your promise, you can write this down, is your compass. God, what do you have for me? I have a promise. What's next for me? My promise is next. That's great, but I'm here and that's there. He says, no. True that you're there and that's over there. But I'm going to bring a part of you over there to dwell with me in this promise. And tonight, I'm going to show you how to do that in a very easy, say easy, practical way. The first thing you have to have is a word. Now, when he said the Holy Spirit, he'll receive of mine, show it, declare it, disclose it, transmit it, rehearse it. He's going to get it to you. Amen? And he'll rehearse it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to keep planting until you get it. Amen? How many of you have got something? Point A, I mean, God has given you something. If you want to graduate, you're going to have to do something with what God has said. If you don't do something with what God has said, you won't graduate. You'll sit here. You can lift your hands. You can run around the church. You can do the Shandai, Rondai, tie my bow tie, drive my Hyundai. You can do the shoulda, butta, Honda, butta, butta, Hyundai. You can do that all day long, but you're still, when it's all said and done, are going to still be sitting in the same place. How do I know that? We have experience in this area. Now, what other people do, because they develop the dark, well, one day God will do it. They start working here, like Abraham did. Did not know how to go over to the other side, so you start working it out. See, that's dangerous too. When you start working it over here, it's your solution to an impossible promise. When God speaks, he speaks from a position of impossibility. He does that for a reason. He calls you to the realm of the impossible. If he spoke to you what you could do, you could easily make that journey. He's always going to speak above you. Even point B is going to be above you. Point Z is going to be really above you. But he's going to have you go over. Say, let us go over to the other side. Amen. Now, when God speaks, he speaks here, but he manifests there. But all the evidence of what God has spoken, all the glory, all the life, all the spirit is over here. So I need a word. So what is the Holy Spirit going to share with me? Well, he said he's going to receive a mind and show it to you. So what's his? All things, say all things, that the Father has are mine. Say all things. So, when the Holy Spirit speaks, don't put him in a little box about what you can believe God for. Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring the kingdom to you. If he's going to bring the kingdom, it's going to be one of four major areas that I've presently identified. There might be more, but I've identified four major areas of the kingdom of God. And all of these areas, he's going to bring to you in the order that he wants them brought forth. Amen? Area number one, the kingdom of God is for the lost and unsaved world, offering salvation, healing, and deliverance. That's the kingdom of God. Area number two, the kingdom of God is the church on the earth, the eight operations of God, the seven pillars, you name it. the gifts, administrations, callings, government, the church, anything to do with the church is the kingdom of God. Area number three, kingdom of God. Say it like this. Everything Christ inherited on your behalf personally, healing, deliverance, wholeness, prosperity, abundance, that's the kingdom of God. Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? When he substituted himself, he gave it to you positionally. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. That's the kingdom. Area number four, everything Christ inherited on the behalf of your generations, including salvation, including natural sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters. I got a whole boatload of promise for spiritual sons and daughters. You can say amen. That's the kingdom. The world, the church, you and your generations. God deals with generational inheritance, natural and spiritual. I'm saying this for a reason. When the Holy Spirit brings something to you, he'll speak A, B, C, all the way down to Z. But he's generally going to start you with point B to get you moving in faith. You got to walk by faith, not sit and do nothing. That means that faith has to be engaged. If I don't know how to engage my faith, or I'm sitting there fighting in point A, you're going to get worn out. And if you get worn out, you just quit. You won't quit God. You just quit faith. A lot of people think they're walking by faith. They're not. Walking by faith is alive. Walking by faith is exhilarating. Walking by faith is going to turn you up. Walking by faith is going to get your waters and your juices flowing. Walking by faith is going to get you zinging. Why? Because you're moving in light. Light moves. You're moving with the Lamb. Walking with the Lamb. He wants you at point B. So when he brings something to you point A, everybody is different. Whatever he has spoken to you to launch your faith in, if it's in those categories of the kingdom, go for it. A lot of people think, well, if I believe for something personal, that's not the kingdom. Of course it's the kingdom. If you don't get personal faith working, the enemy will come at you. He'll come at your ministry. He'll come at your business. He'll come at you. If you don't learn to stand, he'll eat your lunch. All while you're hallelujahing. All while I'm glorifying God. All while I know everything. You can know everything, but accomplish nothing. Because faith is not a product of the mind. Faith is a product of the heart. So some people camp for knowledge. See, you got to learn to reconnect. What we're doing is not working for us. The worst thing we can do is sit and do the same thing for the next 20 years. We must. Everybody says, why do you just keep going and going and going and going? Because there's something insatiable on the inside to understand how to operate in the kingdom. Until I get somebody, I don't have a mentor in this earth can show me how a 100-fold first world glory works. Because if there was there, I'd be camping out in their meetings. I know how anointings work. But I need a mentor. And I found one with the Holy Ghost. He either gave these promises to operate or he didn't. And I'm quite certain the problem is not with him. The one thing that I look at, I don't know about you, but when I look at a situation, I look at how long have you been doing this? And are you in the same place? Because if you're not moving, now crowds are not large crowds in glory. That is a part of God's plan for certain. But we always got to be moving. The compass is, are you moving with the Lord? Is your revelation moving? Is your life moving? Are you moving with the Lord? Or are you just sitting there? Amen. We've got to ever be moving with him because he's leading us. Say leading. He can't lead a parked car. Now, what I want to teach you is how to move from glory to glory the way he's showing it to me right now. Amen? With that said, God's going to give you a word. He may have given you 50 words. He may have given you a whole constitution worth of words. Now, God's not going to sit there and tell me, now, birth this whole thing right here, right now. He's given me a target that represents this, to get me moving. Because he gave me a constitution 10 years ago. I met the Holy Spirit. The Lord introduced him to me as the heavenly lawyer. It was the most amazing encounter ever. And the first thing he taught me was spiritual constitution. Walked up in my room, a presence. Felt like a huge angel and spoke out of that presence. Deep. He said, I want to introduce you to the heavenly lawyer. And the first revelation that comes is spiritual constitution. If you have no foundation of the word, this has been the greatest gift God's ever given me. Hallelujah. A lot of warfare has come around this thing. Praise the Lord. However, it's the gift because it's what keeps you anchored. Amen. When God speaks to you here, it's important to write down what he has said. It is important to get scripture for what he has said. It's important to remember the dream, write the dream, write the encounter, write the rhema word, put it down on paper. Find other scripture that substantiates what God has said. Because it's going to be your compass when you go, all right? It's going to be your foundation. It's what's here is the mirror image of what's here. Now, that's how you're going to move. I said all that to say this. How did Abraham come to the place wearing a dead body, given a commandment to birth from a dead womb? How did he come to the place that he was against hope, believed in hope, staggered not at the promise of God, was fully persuaded, was full of faith, being fully persuaded at what God had promised, he was able to perform? How did he come to that arena? And then Jesus said something remarkable about what he told the Pharisees. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. I believe he looked into promise, and God said, I'm going to bring an heir through your loins. And when he saw the heir, the real heir, Christ, he knew that God was bound to give him an heir because that heir had to come out of Abraham's generations. And once he saw that God was in covenant with him and he could not go back, he saw his day. Once he looked all the way to Z and saw the birth of Christ, he knew that all those promises was for this son, Christ. I was going to multiply Christ into the nations of the earth. I was going to multiply him as the seed, and all the families of the earth would be blessed by Christ. Once he saw that, he knew God was bound to give him an heir back here. Isn't that glorious? And that's what gave him the faith. He got the faith by looking forward, not where he was. Amen. With that said, I'm going to teach you for the rest of the service how to effectively move and dwell within your promise. Now, what I want you to do is you got to get with the Holy Ghost. Before you begin, know it's going to be a little bit of a journey. It might be 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. It might be a year, maybe longer. I don't know. All depends upon you and God. But you need to get, I don't care what all he said to you in point Z, you need to get a point B, a target. The Holy Ghost is going to do that. He's not going to be general out there with you. Be not vague, thoughtless, or foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God is a detailed God. If you don't believe me, look at the detail he gave David. Look at the detail he gave Moses in building the temple. He gives details. I need something to target into now specifically. I want to target in. You got to get that. If you don't have that yet, you're not ready to go. Got to get that. Well, how am I going to get that? The Holy Ghost is going to give it to you. He gave you a word. Say a word. That word is spirit. That word is life. And the Lord is speaking from this position and says, where I am now, there shall you be also. He's calling you from the day he sent that word. He's calling you to the word. Some people think they've got to be perfect enough to inherit. Peter administrated a full-blown revival in the streets of Jerusalem. And he was just getting started. You don't have to be perfect. You are perfected as you go. People want to sit and get perfected. When you sit and get perfected, you sit and you become perfectly miserable. Perfectly stagnant. What I found, and what we found around here, is God's not going to let us do it any other way. We have no other choice in the matter. So if God has eliminated your choices, that's a good thing. I would rather have somebody that's failed 50 times than somebody that's never even gone out there yet. Because the ones that haven't gone out there yet, they still think they can do it. The ones that have failed 50 times know they can't do it. You're a prime candidate. Blessed is the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of God. It's yours. This is the question of the ages. This is all of our training, all wrapped up in one revelation. How do I get from here to there? How do I get over there? How do I get him to answer that prayer? I'm not talking about little things. I'm talking about big things. The impossible stuff. How do I get him to do that? He'll do it when he's ready. He's not ready. I would think he's going to have to get ready at some point in time. He's already ready. He sits right here. He sent his Holy Spirit to where you are. He sent his word to where you are. And he says, now come to where I am. Believe me, he's going to perfect you along the way. People don't understand something about faith. Faith is so exhilarating. Faith is so alive. Faith is so full of fellowship. The closer I get to him over here, the greater it gets. And I'm believing for a promise. But I'm getting fellowship. I'm like, I didn't know it was this glorious. He goes, there's a lot of things you don't know. He goes, but you're going to learn as you go. I'll tell you this, I'd rather be moving than stuck. Amen? How'd I get over there? Well, the Lord said something to me. It's actually simple, but it does require work. But it's a different kind of work. He said, I've already actually taught you how to do this. He goes, I've already taught you how to do this. He goes, I'm just readjusting the compass. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, I taught you how to do this when you were entering into the right hand of God, when you were entering into the temple, when you were entering into the door. How did you enter in? You didn't go in by your soul. You didn't go by your mind. You didn't go by a feeling. You didn't go by an empty imagination. You went by a predefined place of my word. Though it was spirit, you moved by what? My word. You moved, you held that word. You became aware, and I'm going to show you this in a minute, you became aware of that word, and you moved into that word. Case in point. Jesus said, I am the living doorway. He was borrowing from the imagery. By me, if any man enter in, he goes, he will go in and out and find pasture. That's not salvation. You don't go in and out of salvation. He was talking about the doorway to the kingdom. In from your jurisdiction to his jurisdiction. He was borrowing from the imagery of Moses when the living pillar of glory would come down on the tabernacle, the doorway. And Moses would walk right through that living pillar of glory, and he would abide in the tabernacle. When he prayed to God, he never prayed outside the tent. He prayed inside, not outside. He said, come out from among them and be you separate. So with that imagery, the world's on the outside, the tent's on the inside. It's in you, the temple of the living God. So what you do is you hold that word there. And you see him as the living pillar of glory. And you begin to focus into that word. You begin to focus into that promise. And you begin to speak. By way of acknowledgement and focus and acknowledgement, you begin to speak. You've granted me access by faith into this grace. Wherein I stand, I enter in. And I used to tell people, I said, now you need to see the temple. And people were trying to see with these eyes. And then finally the Lord showed me something to help people. I want you to look around this room. Now I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see this pulpit up here. Do you see this pulpit? Are you aware that I'm up here preaching? Can you see me? Can't see me with your natural eyes, but are you aware I'm in here? Are you aware that I'm in here? Are you aware there are chairs in this room? Are you aware there's other people in this room? Are you aware that you're inside or outside? How do you know you're inside? You can't see right now. But are you aware? So can you see the walls over there by awareness? Look at the wall by awareness. I'm aware there's a wall over there, so I really can see it. But I see it in a different way. Are you aware someone's in front of you? Are you aware somebody's in front of you? Are you aware that somebody's sitting there in front of you? You were just seeing by awareness. Do you see that? When you learn to see by awareness, now it's not awareness of the soul, it's awareness that's produced specifically by His Word. Case in point, when it says, hide me in your tabernacle, hide me in your pavilion, you're a fortress, a very high tower. I want you to be aware now, you're in a pavilion, a canopy of sorts. There's something over you. You're inside a pavilion. You're inside a tent. You're inside a fortress. You're inside a rock. You're surrounded by a shield. Our God's exceeding great and precious shield. Be aware that you're surrounded by a shield. Be aware that you're hiding under the shadow of His wings. He's stretching forth His wings. You feel the awareness of Him. You're underneath the protection of His wings. See, you feel His covering. You're aware that He's surrounding you. You're aware His temple's around you. You see that? I would take the Word and become aware of that position. I would see by the eye of faith through what? Awareness. Say awareness. I'm going to teach you how to inhabit your promise a long time before it manifests. And matter of fact, you're going to have to inhabit it. Or you're going to be sitting in point A all your life. There are people that know how to do this and they move with God and they get judged for it because God's with them. And whatever they ask for, God does it. You have to learn the awareness, and awareness takes an extreme amount of focus, because when I am practicing awareness, when I want to move on the inside, I see myself inside the tent of meeting. An image that was produced by the Word, like Moses, he went in, I see myself, and I'm aware I'm inside, not outside. I'm not trying to get in, I'm in. I'm aware I'm surrounded by a tabernacle. I'm aware His, you feel that stretching forth His wings over you? How He covers you in the shadow of His wings. See, you see His wings by awareness. Do you see that? Now, as you practice awareness, say practice, that realm gets brighter. As you practice awareness, that realm gets clearer. As you practice awareness, that realm gets lit up to where you can just walk right in. And we did it the other day. Within a matter of 15 seconds, we just went in. I was just showing them. I didn't even know we were going to go. We just shifted right in. Now, as you practice, now you can practice the awareness of the Holy Spirit. Now, awareness requires words and focus. Say words and focus. You got to hone in on what God has said. And the untrained mind doesn't like to do that. It doesn't like focus. It wants to wander. So when it wanders, bring it back in. Bring it back in until you get a lock in. You got to practice awareness. Whatever you hone in on and aware, it'll become alive. Now, I like to tell people that have never learned or never practiced this, that if you want to feel the presence of God, start becoming aware of the Holy Spirit that's dwelling with you forever. And start the awareness. You're going to feel His presence faster than anything. But then you got to be aware of that Word He gave you. You got to be aware of the time when He brought it to you. The life that was in it. The faith that was in it. The glory that was upon it. Because He was speaking from another realm. My words are spirit and they're life. He was speaking from a position of your future. He brought your future right down where you are. And you got to get aware of that again. Now, how do I do that? The Lord said, all I want you to do is to shift your compass. You moved into the kingdom by awareness of a word. I want you to move into your promise. Say, move into the promise by becoming aware of the promise. Before you start this, you need to come out of this jurisdiction and into His. That's why He spent so much time teaching you how to enter in. He's trying to teach you how to be more than an overcomer. Just because you've never heard these things before don't mean it's not truth. Amen? When you enter in, I enter in right where I'm at, but I want to shift out of this jurisdiction. I want to shift into Him. I want to get in. Just like I taught you a minute ago. I want to get in. I want to dwell. I want to be with him. From that position, all I'm going to do is refocus the compass. Say refocus. But I'm still focusing on a word, the word that was brought to me, right? But I'm now focusing on the place when he brought it to me. He brought the life to me. He brought the glory. He brought the future panoramic vision. He brought all that. See, when it came in, he brought it all. He left a footprint there. I want to focus into that. Amen. I want to focus into that word. How do I do that? I want to become aware. Say aware. I'm going to look at this point B right now. I don't need to do point Z right now. I need my target. I want to be aware. What does this actually look like here? What does it look like by way of awareness? How do I see it? I see it by way of awareness. Just like you're aware of the walls. What is that thing I'm believing for? What does that look like? I use this example. He goes, I want you to believe me. You ready for this? For 500 disciples. Now, how many of you heard me say that before? You know why? Because he has said it before. He said it back in the days we had elders. I never locked into the promise, and he's never changed his mind. I just keep doing all this stuff, but he still has a mind that he wants to fill this place, not including media, with 500 disciples, not sheep, disciples. There's a difference between sheep and disciples. Disciples are there because they want to know. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they want to be equipped. Disciples are like going to college. Sheep wants a milk bottle. Disciples, they're going there, they're paying the price, that's the ones we want. King, priest, disciples. Amen? He said that while back there. He's had me try to launch in and I quit. Then he brought it right back again. He says, I'll keep bringing it back again because 500, son, is the pathway to the world. You want to go touch the world, you need 500 before you go to 5,000. And before you go to 50,000, you need 5,000. You don't just jump over to 50,000. Because once I know how to get them, I know how to get 5,000. And I know how to get 50,000 because the same process works. Where am I going to get evidence? I get a whole bunch of prophecies on the first worship song. See, look, nothing's happening. See, look at all you're doing. See, the enemy comes in. How do I do that? Faith can take me, takes me to the living part. That word was spoken as a living promise. It's spirit and it's life. And disciples were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Jesus inherited the nations. I set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Ask of me now, my son, the nations is your inheritance. He's already been given that inheritance. He wants to wants the Holy Spirit to appropriate that inheritance by finding somebody on the earth that can operate by faith. And the Holy Spirit can go and go. So I sit here and I become aware. 500. How do you do that? First thing I do is I pull into the parking lot. And I can't even park in my own spot. The neighbors are all upset with us because we're all parking in their spots. And there's no parking anywhere. Then I pull up to that street over there, and that's full. And then we've had to get Carl to find somebody that can do the traffic, because we have to start escorting people back and forth on Jones Road, because they're parking over there in front of that workout center. And then when I get in, the whole lobby is full. Can you see? Close your eyes while we do this. And there are people everywhere. And Lily's got like 15 greeters at the door. And we've got two sets of doors. And everybody's happy. And they're filling. And I'm telling everybody, everybody go to the sanctuary. They said, there's no room in the sanctuary. That's why you have these three screens, these big screens. Because we watch the service from the lobby. And when I walk in, the place is full. There's chairs all here. They're all over here. And they're filled all the way to the back. And people are standing up. And we're trying to jam more people in. And the power of God is in demonstration, and they're hungry and they're thirsty, and I see them and I'm living and I'm meeting them, and I'm meeting them every service. We have special meet and greets just so I can know somebody's name that just joined this place. Now I'm feeling this excitement, this exhilaration. I'm living over here, and all of a sudden the life kicks into that word and the spirit kicks in. First, it just started becoming awareness. Then it turned into life. I've had this happen on four occasions where I was transported into the glory. I was in a place of living glory watching all this happen. And I get so caught up in it, I lose time. But it's so real and so alive. I walk out now, get this, I walked out baptized with the living reality of that place. I'm not just in awareness, I'm baptized into a living awareness. I have just visited my future. And I'm coming back to tell you, like Caleb and Joshua, the promised land, it's full of milk and honey. It's good. Yeah, but they're giants. I didn't see them. I was with him where he was. And the glory of that realm was so full. I come back dripping in it. I'm like, I come back over here. I open my eyes and I look around and five more people have showed up. But now it doesn't affect me because I'm not baptized in this realm. I'm baptized in that realm. And because I've been baptized in that realm, I'm looking around. You know what I see? I see the exact same thing I just saw. I see this place full. I see this place packed out. Well, you're just in the numbers. Look, if you give way to a religious spirit, they'll find anything to be religious about. You're just into prosperity. Now you're into numbers. I am into faith. I'm into my Father's kingdom. I love His kingdom. And I'm learning how this stuff works. Because this is the living kingdom. He says, now when you live here with me, you're on the precipice now of manifestation. You see that? He actually takes where you are and he clothes the earth with it. That's becoming an heir of salvation. That's how the kingdom's going to come in the earth. The sooner you learn how to do that, the sooner you will move from glory to glory. But you better watch out because there's a whole lot more than just circumstance over here. There's a boatload of religious spirits and they come with the word. And they will try to talk you out of never even moving from this place. And if you get past that, you got to get past unworthiness. Then you got to get past that. There's a lot of stuff you got to get past. That's why sometimes you are to listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about. Amen. I'm listening to the Holy Ghost because he knows what he's talking about. Never leave without a word. Never venture out in your soul. Never. Now, you can be believing God for something personal. That doesn't constitute a carnal desire. Your house is not a carnal desire. Your house is what you live in. If the Holy Spirit has sanctioned it and he's put you on the course and he's locked you in, nobody's going to unlock you from that unless you let them. That's just as much as the kingdom. What, are you going to go win the world and live under the bridge? Don't be afraid. Get to point B before you talk yourself out of point B. Because you might find that God may have a whole kingdom over here. Now that you know how to do this, let me give you a real kingdom assignment. Let me show you how to move whole cities to me in intercession. Let me show you how to birth the creative realm that almost elusive whole nations come into the glory. Let me show you the joy. It's my Father's good pleasure to give this to you. So don't think you're not going to experience pleasure. I'm like, the closer I got over here, the more fellowship I was into. I was sitting in this glory. Write this down. The highest level of fellowship ever is to be with him where he is. Highest level. And if God's moved and you don't know how to move with him, you can have fellowship, but you don't have the kind of fellowship of being with him where he is. Faith will afford you the opportunity to stay with him all the time. He's going to give you time to go down the path, to walk down there. He's going to give you time to learn and develop. The worst thing you can do is nothing. Listen and say, I don't have time, Lord, to do this. The first thing I would do is never say that word again. The first thing I do is, Father, I thank you. You've made all time available to me to do this. I think I have more than enough time. I don't know what to do with all my time. I thank you, Father, you give me and grant me the gift of time, the grace of time. Grant me grace to do this. Start agreeing with anything and everything will get you there. First thing you need to do, your own strongholds can talk you out of this place before you ever get started. They're stronger than you think. That's why they call them strongholds. They're mindsets. There's reasonings. The enemy will get involved and empower those reasonings. He'll come with emotions. He'll come with doctrinal stuff. What'd he come with the Lord with? The word. He'll come with you with religious stuff. So you won't move. He doesn't want you to move. He likes you right where you're at. He certainly doesn't want us exploring the possibilities of unlocking whole nations for God. Which is X, Y, Z. Because once faith gets going, you get into the realm of all things are possible. When you start doing that, oh my, this realm gets pretty glorious to live in. When I'm here, very first thing, when I have a point B that's been assigned to me, I want to agree with it. The first thing I say, Father, I am who you just said I am. Father, I 100% agree with what you said. If you don't do that, unworthiness will talk you out of it like that. I don't know, God. I can do it. Listen, you're not going to get there by yourself anyway, so don't worry about it. I am worthy. I am accepted into the beloved. I am holy without blame, and I am who you said I am. And I can do what you said I can do because it's not I that do it, but Christ in me. When I get there, the Holy Ghost is going to do it anyway. You've got to agree with point B. You must agree. You're never going to get there if you don't agree. You've got to start coming to agreement with what God has said. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to fight you. People are going to fight you. Spirits are going to fight you. Your own minds are going to fight you. Circumstances are going to fight you. But when you get good at this, you'll bypass all of it. You just go, shoo. Because what I found about point B, when I'm in the glory, when I'm locked in, I don't hear nothing. I don't see nobody else. I don't hear those voices. They have no effect upon me whatsoever. I only hear what he's saying because I'm where he is. I'm being clothed in what he said. My imagery's being clothed. I'm being spiritually clothed. My mind's being clothed. Everything about me is being baptized in this position. I'm getting ready for manifestation. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.